The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
OKMED, here's Bill Myers.
What an interesting weekend, huh? Wow, a lot going on in the foreign policy and United States ship of state, if you want to call it that. You can join the conversation at 770-563-3770-KMED. The email, Bill at BillMyersShow.com. Facebook.com/BillMyersShow feed is up here this morning. Unfortunately, it's my face, but, you know, that's why I am a radio broadcaster, forced to actually put a picture or two on the air now and then, okay? But, Syria, the big deal over the weekend as far as the national news and world news was concerned. And it is one of the best people that I go to, frankly, is a money guy when it comes to foreign policy a lot of times. Because what I appreciate the money guys, Sean Ring is an example. He works on The Rood Awakening. It's a online and a financial type group here. What's interesting is that the money people tend to look at things more clear-eyed, I think, than many other people who may have more of a ideological bent. The money people will tend to look at what's going on between nations and say, okay, what's really going on? There's money moving, there's power moving, there's all sorts of shifts. And so I appreciate looking at what the money people are thinking about what happened with Syria going down in flames and Assad going over to Israel, or not to Israel, I'm sorry, to Moscow. Moscow, of course, bombing, Moscow's not bombing Syria at this point. Israel bombing Syria, and apparently the United States has also been bombing parts of Syria right now to try to keep terrorists, apparently, from controlling it. But it is a fascinating time when you think about it this morning. And what Sean Ring is writing today in The Rood Awakening, and I think it's pretty good, it says, for the first weekend in ages, I wake up to an entirely different world by liberating their word, not mine. Syria from Bashar al-Assad's grip. The United States has for the first time in ages pulled off a masterstroke of statecraft that will reset the world map. It will keep Turkey in NATO, allow the Middle East to feed Europe much cheaper energy, kick Russia out of the Middle East, and somewhat gracefully walk away from Ukraine. This is how this is being portrayed in a lot of the money world, okay? Now, Pepe Escobar, who writes a lot on foreign policy issues, saying that an old school former deep state high level source to him that has never failed him, that there was a deal. Washington gets to do what it wants in the Middle East. Russia gets Ukraine. The new Washington has shown exceptional skill. Facts will confirm it or not. Now, the new Washington has shown exceptional skill. Now, when Pepe talks about the new Washington, obviously he's not talking about Joe Biden. I don't think Joe Biden had much to do with any of this. Can we all agree on that so far? It's not about old Joe. Old Joe, I think, barely knows where the oatmeal is in the morning. So you have that situation. And then there are critics of this, too. Caitlin Johnston, who is no globalist, an online blogger, and rather famed within the system, says, crazy how the West went directly from we need to occupy Afghanistan for two decades to prevent it from being taken over by the Taliban to, yay, Syria's being taken over by Al-Qaeda. And she's right about that. The people that have taken over Syria are, in essence, an offshoot of Al-Qaeda. And so, yeah, we have Turkish-backed Syrian rebels taking over Aleppo over the weekend. Syria's fallen, and what are the implications? The losers at the moment overall, Iran, Ukraine, and Russia. Assad's fall disrupts Iran's axis of resistance, which includes alliances with groups like Hezbollah. Syria served as a crucial conduit for Iranian arms supplies to reach Hezbollah in Lebanon. Now, the winner, Turkey parties like it's 1699. Turkish fingerprints do appear to be all over this situation. Europe wins because it'll end up getting cheaper energy. So it'll end up paying Middle Eastern countries to let them ship their cheap energy into Europe, which has been struggling. In fact, Germany's economy has been just atrocious because of the high cost of energy, and their dependency on wind and solar to try to run an industrial country. It just doesn't work there. Israel catches a break on this, too. And so that's kind of where it is at the moment, though. What about Russia, though? What about Russia? Tucker Carlson ended up dropping an interview over the weekend with Lavrov, one of the big guys, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. And Carson asks him, do you believe that the United States and Russia are at war right now? And Lavrov's response says, I wouldn't say so, but what is going on in Ukraine, some people call it a hybrid war. I would call it a hybrid war as well. Lavrov emphasized that while neither Russia nor the U.S. has declared war, the ongoing conflict in Ukraine represents a proxy war of unprecedented complexity. Lavrov accusing the United States of not just funding Ukraine, but directly enabling its military capabilities through advanced weaponry like the ATACMS missiles, etc. So that's kind of where the world has been reset this morning. But it does appear that Russia is going to be able to cut some decent deal with Ukraine. They're going to be getting a chance to keep Ukraine. Zelensky probably not considering himself a real winner at this point in time. Speaking of Zelensky, it was so weird watching all of the world leaders getting together. They were getting together in France on Saturday, and Linda and I were watching them as they were reopening or rededicating the Cathedral of Notre Dame. And that had just been rebuilt, just an absolute beautiful, it was a beautiful ceremony. President Trump was there, Macron, everybody who was anybody was really there. And what was really interesting was seeing how many of these world leaders were going up to President Trump, who hasn't even taken the office yet, but they were all in line and wanting to be seen, wanting to shake his hand. And it's interesting watching Donald Trump shake hands with world leaders, because he doesn't do it in an incredibly formal style. Don leans into you. Have you ever noticed that when he shakes hands? It's a real personal sort of thing. He bends over, he leans into you, and it's a real grasp. It's not one of those formal standing apart and shaking hands. Don makes connections. And the one thing that was really obvious about watching Donald Trump in Paris over the weekend was how, even though those people may not like him, you could tell they wanted to be seen with him and they respect him. Much more important right now to be respected, I think, than liked. I thought that was interesting. Watching that going on was quite an observation. It's 18 minutes after 6, so got a lot of weirdness going on in the world. But yeah, the Middle Eastern map has been overturned quite a bit. I'll be curious to see what happens with the people left behind in Syria. I'm no expert on Syrian politics, but what I've read enough over the years is that for all of his badness and Bashar al-Assad, Assad not a great guy by any stretch, but he was an Alawite. He was an Alawite, I think it's how you pronounce it. It's a minority religious sect in Islam. And so being a minority, a religious minority himself, he was very big on running Syria with the protection of religious minorities, including Christians. Now that we have Al-Qaeda, in essence, taking over Syria now, or what's left of Syria, who knows what it will be over time. What happens to the protection of those religious minorities? And I can't help but think that when I was watching some of the CNN and Fox coverage over it, and, you know, all the people within Syria are just yelling, freedom, freedom. And I'm thinking, yeah, you've probably exchanged one dictator for another dictator. I hope I'm wrong. But given that essentially an Al-Qaeda sect has taken over Syria, and we seem to be okay with it, because I guess now we're okay with Al-Qaeda, if they're getting rid of Assad. Yeah, I know the enemy of my enemy is my friend, I guess, for the time being. What a mess. What a mess. You know, say what you will, Assad kept a lid on that religious hornet's nest festering over in Syria, but it was not to be. And you can figure that a lot of the reasons he is out is that Russia has been weakened with a long, grinding Ukraine war. And like I say, many are starting to muse now that a deal has been cut. Russia is going to get to keep a good portion of Ukraine and save face. And Syria goes away. United States gets to play in the Middle East the way it wishes to. And don't think that this is a Biden administration issue. All right. They knew what's coming. They knew what's coming, and I think the chess pieces have been moving several weeks in front of President Trump taking office. Interesting day, isn't it, huh? 21 after 6, this is the Bill Myers Show, 770-5633. Hope you're doing well this morning. You're waking up on 99.3 KBXG, 106.3 KMED. Thanks for being here.
It's amazing. What's right under your floor can impact your whole house. Musty smells, wall cracks, uneven floors, doors and windows that stick. These could all be your home sending you warning signs that there's a problem. But one simple call can be the answer to fixing everything under your home. For more than a decade, Terra Firma has been our area's number one solution for better basements, foundations, and crawl spaces. So why waste another day worrying? Make an investment in a more healthy, more valuable home. Call Terra Firma today.
Visit GoTerraFirma.com.
Matt here with an urgent message from the Josephine County Republican Party. Similar to what President Trump experienced, politically motivated citizens are using lawfare and misinformation in an attempt to recall Commissioner John West, one of our most fiscally conservative commissioners of all time. Win or lose, this misguided recall will waste $60,000 of our hard-earned taxpayer dollars. When you receive your recall ballot, vote no on this political attack and drop it at the county courthouse, the Republican Party headquarters, or as a last resort in the mail. Your action is urgently needed. If those opposed do not submit ballots, one of our most effective commissioners will be recalled. Stop the John West derangement syndrome. The Josephine County Republican Party urges you to counter this injustice by voting no and turning in your ballot by December 17th. Thank you. Paid for by Josephine County Republican Central Committee, PAC 319.
The email of the day on the Bill Myers Show, sponsored by Central Point Family Dentistry. See all they have to offer at centralpointfamilydentistry.com and call for an appointment. Dr. Steve Nelson and his staff are next to Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant, just off Pine in Central Point.
As a business owner, you likely do a lot of driving around town, so turn your business vehicle into an attention-getting rolling billboard. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab brands and restyles cars, pickups, vans, even big rigs with durable vinyl to present your business logo and info in a professional, contemporary design that's guaranteed to make a bold statement. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab is your source for paint protection film, window tint, and vinyl wrap for your personal vehicle, too. Get your design suggestion today. Visit washbuggyautospa.com.
Hi, I'm Mark with Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on KMED.
23 minutes after 6, I appreciate you waking up here this Monday. By the way, coming up here in the next few minutes, I'm looking to talk with Parag Amin. He's the founder of the law office of Parag Amin. Guy down in Los Angeles, I believe. And I've never had the pleasure of speaking to him up until now, but he has done a lot of lawsuits when it comes to the medical industrial complex. You know, people not getting coverage and having trouble suing drug companies. I mean, all this kind of stuff. And the reason I'm bringing him on is a lot of conversation about the assassination of the United Health CEO. In fact, it's been, 6 days, they still haven't found this guy, but they say they know him, but they won't tell you who it is. I don't know. You know, I'm thinking at this point it is either one of the most brilliant crimes ever, someone who seems to really pay attention to what's going on with the surveillance state and seem to work it to his advantage, because he's managed to disappear so far. He went into that bus station afterwards and was not seen coming out. So either he is just this mastermind who is making it appear to be inept, but yet he still managed to escape the surveillance state, or else he's just someone whose parent or a relative or someone else died because of the health insurance industry, and so has a grudge. I mean, I don't know. It's really interesting, but Parag and I are going to talk about, you know, in my opinion, I'm surprised we haven't seen something like this up to this time. And I'm not advocating it. I'm not advocating it. All right. Not advocating for what happened with with the United Healthcare CEO. Not that at all. It's a horrible thing. But there are a lot of people out there who, in their opinions, have been treated really badly by the health insurance world. Parag Amin has represented a lot of these people. And you have the companies, the stock value going up, investors in these companies making bank. Well, how do these insurance companies, how do these health insurance companies become so gosh darn valuable if all they're doing is taking money in from you and then paying off good claims? Well, the whole goal is to not pay claims, right? Deny, 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 go to court, et cetera, you know, all that kind of thing, whatever the, you know, the statements were on the, you know, on the bullets. And, you know, even my, you know, even in my own particular situation with Linda, when Linda had cancer, a number of years ago, I understand the feelings of frustration and rage that can come. Now, I didn't feel rage, but it was just like, I'll just explain a little bit of this. I don't know if I ever really talked about this aspect of Linda. When Linda ended up being diagnosed with cancer a number of years ago, and by the way, she's perfectly fine right now, all right? I don't think she'd mind me sharing a bit about this. But when she ended up having her cancer back then, she's disease-free now, so everything's okay. Don't need to work about it. I appreciate your concern. I get a lot of lovely letters when I've talked about this in the past. But my health insurance, which was Blue Cross at that time, and the way it worked is that the doctor ended up saying, hey, you know, Linda has this particular type of cancer. It has this particular type of marker, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So the insurance company ended up approving for standard conventional chemotherapy. So did a number of months of chemotherapy. Anyone who's gone through chemotherapy, you know how miserable that is, or you can be. You lose hair, you have all sorts of other problems. You're essentially brought to the brink of death. And then everything seemed to be fine, seemed to be in remission. And then like 60 days later, boom, it's like it didn't even touch it. It's like the cancer at that time laughed at the conventional chemotherapy. All right. So then her oncologist said, well, the markers here really fit with this drug named Keytruda. Keytruda is a immunotherapy. It's a very expensive immunotherapy, just absolutely amazingly expensive immunotherapy. I can't even imagine, you know, how expensive it was. It was tens of thousands of dollars every time you got an infusion of it. It's just amazingly expensive. But it matched everything about her tumor markers that she had, the cancer that Linda had at that time. And so the insurance company turned it down. They said, well, this is a new, not proven therapy. You know, that was the excuse, even though Keytruda has been out for many, many years. So they turned it down. The appeal, they turned it down. And so what happened next was a miracle. In many ways, I still tear up a little bit just thinking about it. But Linda's surgeon, her oncologist, ended up going to the bat and talking with the people who made Keytruda at that point. And they got Linda into a drug trial for that particular type of cancer or whatever it is. And so she was able to get the Keytruda as part of a study. Now, the insurance company did deign to authorize the infusions, so it would cover the infusions, the actual cost of putting it into her. You know, when Linda would go to the cancer bunker, you know, the infusion center here in Southern Oregon, and then they would pay for sticking the needle in and putting the bag in and having you. So they would pay for that part of it. And so it just knocked out her particular type of cancer like that. Took a few months, and she's been disease-free ever since. Been feeling very blessed about it. In fact, the only reason that that Linda is still with me today is because that Keytruda just knocked it out. Just knocked it out of the park. It was just amazing. But it had been turned down. I can't help but think that there are many people, many families, you know, like me and Linda, you know, they have these kind of situations in which, you know, here's this particular miracle drug. It's expensive. No, the insurance company's not going to cover it. And a lot of people have probably died over the years because of this. No doubt. And the kind of rage that must bubble through some family members, especially someone that says, you know, I'm going to lash out. I'm going to get even. You know, you could see how stuff like that happens. I am not advocating for that. I'm not happy that sort of stuff happens. I'm just saying I understand it. That's all I'm saying. Okay. And Parag, of course, deals with the legal side of the medical industrial complex. And he's going to have a lot to say about that here in the next few minutes, too. But I wanted to share a little bit about, you know, my particular experience. And like I said, when I saw that the United Healthcare guy was assassinated, the first thought through my head, someone who had someone who died. Treatment was turned down. You know, this particular type of, no, we don't do this kind of coverage anymore. And very sad. If you're very wealthy, you get to live. If not, well, thank you for helping increase our stock price and the CEO pay, right? And I know I'm kind of engaging in a little bit of flippant action there. But, you know, that's the way the real world works, though, okay? 6:32, we'll catch up on the rest of the news with Bill London, and then we'll talk with Parag Amin. Maybe get more of your calls, 7 o'clock, hour 2. Dr. Powers will also join me after 8 this morning with local history with WALP, where past meets present, on KMED and KBXG.
Not sure what to buy your loved one for Christmas? Can't find what you're looking for? A gift card from Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is the perfect choice. Let them choose from legacy bed liners, tonneau covers, canopies, running boards, floor liners, and much more. See Oregon Truck and Auto Authority and make shopping a breeze.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A low-barrier homeless shelter is coming to Grants Pass after the city council approved a grant to fund it. The shelter will be located at 10th and 220 Redwood Highway. It's planned to accommodate about 100 people. The city will purchase the buildings at an appraisal price of $200,000. Each, and the mobile integrative navigation team will be required to operate the shelter for 10 years. Commercial crab season opens December 16th on parts of the Oregon coast. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife says commercial crabbers will be able to start placing pots the 13th from Cape Falcon near Manzanita to the California border. Oregon is one of six states where federal regulators plan to roll out testing of raw milk to monitor for the spread of the bird flu in dairy cattle. The USDA ordered the new inspection process to contain and ultimately eliminate the virus. Bird flu has resulted in the deaths of millions of domestic birds and was first detected in dairy cows last March. Bill London, KMED News.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The world is watching and waiting now that longtime dictator Bashar Assad has been overthrown in Syria. Israel has struck suspected chemical weapons sites as well as long-range rockets inside the country. And U.S. airstrikes have pounded ISIS camps and operatives in central Syria. This as Syrian exiles flood back into their homeland. President Biden calls the fall of Assad a fundamental act of justice. President-elect Trump counsels caution. In his words, writing on social media, this is not our fight. The hunt for the gunman who killed United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson goes on. The reward fund now up to $60,000. Jury deliberations will continue today in the Daniel Penny New York subway chokehold case. Jurors now weighing a lesser charge of criminally negligent homicide after a judge dismissed a charge of second-degree manslaughter. More details, SRNNews.com.
The Montana Roofing Crews are very observant in their daily travels, and occasionally they can appear to be telepathic, like this dramatized occurrence that actually happened recently. Well, it could. Maybe. It's possible.
Ah, this is turning out to be a fairly nice day. That intense reflection coming off my roof is sort of odd. I didn't know I had a skylight up in the attic.
Pardon me, ma'am. We're from Fontana Roofing. We couldn't help but read your thoughts as we drove by.
Sorry to intrude, but that blinding light coming off your roof is not a skylight. It's actually the remainder of your composite roof.
Oh, my.
Yes, a shiny roof means the protective granules have worn away, revealing the fiberglass matting underneath.
Fontana Roofing, do you know what I'm thinking now?
Let's get busy on a quote.
I'll get the ladder.
Give Fontana Roofing a call for a quote before they call you. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
6:35, joining me right now, Parag Amin. He is the founder of the law offices, the law office of Parag Amin. Earned his law degree from the University of Southern California's Gould School of Law, Bachelor of Science degree in Finance, University of Maryland. Big legal brain, has worked a lot of medical lawsuits, too, from the sounds of it. He's represented public figures, small business owners, individuals in a variety of business affairs. Parag, welcome to the show. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bill. Thank you for having me.
All right. Pleasure. And what was your initial reaction when you saw what happened to the CEO of United Healthcare the other day in New York City? I wasn't really surprised about something like that. I'm just surprised it took so long. But what was your initial impression?
I mean, anytime there's a loss of life, of course, when there's violence, there's always thoughts and prayers to the family. But I think that this gunman is expressing the type of unfortunate anger that a lot of us feel towards the healthcare system and against insurers generally. I mean, that was a developing story that they found these shell casings with these words written on them, such as delay, defend, deny. And that's what a lot of us have faced whenever we're dealing with insurance. We pay dutifully our premiums with the hope and understanding that when we need that insurance, it'll be there for us. And unfortunately, many, many times we're let down. It's like going to a bank where you deposit your money, and then when you need it, you go to try to get it, and they tell you it's not necessary that you get your money back. And that's a lot of what insurance is they'll deny it. They'll claim things are not medically necessary when they are. They'll delay people's ability to get the treatment that they need with hope that they'll either give up or, in many cases, unfortunately, they'll pass away and there's no more of a claim for the insurance. So, unfortunately, it's the dark side of capitalism where insurance companies are just looking for ways to maximize their bottom line. And it has a very real cost of human life. And it's very sad and tragic.
Parag, is it the cost of capitalism or is it the cost of what I would call state-managed capitalism? Because I don't think any of us are really living under free market capitalism. We haven't for a long, long time. I don't know if we ever have, you know, really. Because insurance companies, even with Obamacare, you're required to buy this stuff. Just like with car insurance, too. You are required to buy it. You're required to purchase. And then the insurance companies are put in an interesting, I don't know if it's a pure monopoly, but it sure feels like monopoly at times. You have to go to them, and in many cases, we only have a few companies left now in many of our areas. What say you?
That's right. I mean, so in terms of the idea of insurance, is supposed to be that we pool our risk together. So insurance only works if there's enough people in the system paying into it that it supports everybody. So they're betting on the probability that not everybody will need to use it, that the majority of the people paying into that system are healthy and probably won't need to use it. And that makes sense. But the problem is when they artificially try to tip the scales in their own favor by denying claims when people get sick or unhealthy and need it. And I think the issue with Obamacare is it did not go far enough in terms of regulating the health insurance companies in terms of the requirements and clarifications needed to say, look, you need to pay out. You need to take care of these people. So on the one hand, it did mandate everybody to go out and buy insurance. And the intention was that everybody would come in and it would help bring down the cost of insurance for everybody. Now, without getting into the policy reasons of whether that's right or wrong, to require everybody, regardless of whether they want health insurance or don't want health insurance, to buy it, the issue and the intention there was that it should lower the cost for everybody. Insurance companies should not be denying individuals who have pre-existing conditions, which was a major, major problem Because unfortunately, if somebody gets sick, there's nothing they can do. They have a pre-existing condition, and the cost of healthcare in this country is so high that that person wouldn't be able to afford the treatment, the life-saving treatment that they need. And so that was some of the intention of Obamacare. Unfortunately, I don't think it did enough to regulate these insurance companies, and that's what we need, is more regulation of these insurance companies.
Parag Amin is with me once again. Attorney from his law office of Parag Amin, and we appreciate you coming and talking about this. What was your experience, though, when you were coming up against big insurances, insurance companies? Could you give me an example of, without, of course, you know, sharing anybody's name and things like that, but on ways that were in which coverage was denied unfairly, in your view, and you had to fight, and maybe you won for your client, or maybe you lost some too. How does that work?
So the way it works, Bill, is what one of the things they love to say is that things weren't submitted to them timely. And many of our insurance policies, if not all of them, and I'm hedging there, but I would say 99.999% of insurance policies, whether it's a homeowner's policy or a health insurance policy or an auto insurance policy, they have language in there about how quickly you're supposed to submit your claims. Now, look, the reality of it is, we're all individuals, and the vast majority of us don't have our own claims department that handles claims for us. We're handling them ourselves, as well as balancing family life, work life, and all the other obligations we have on a daily basis. And so what the insurance companies do is they love to say that the claim wasn't submitted timely. And so that's one thing that the listeners can do, is to make sure that they submit their claims as quickly as possible, keep things in writing, submit documentation, and make sure that you create your own kind of claims file. If it's wrongfully denied, which many times it will be wrongfully denied, you want to go back to your policy, your insurance policy, and see what it covers. So I've dealt with that situation numerous times. So one of the duties that health insurers have is they are not supposed to put their own financial interests above yours. They're supposed to be on equal footing. So what they are not supposed to do is collect your premiums and then wrongfully deny your claims. That is a breach of their duty of good faith and fair dealing. And if they have improperly done that, then the insurance policyholder can have a claim directly against their insurance company. And depending on where you are, that can also potentially include a claim for punitive damages, meaning to punish the insurance company for their wrongdoing. So I've dealt with this numerous times when it deals with insurance companies and getting coverage. Well, they'll come out and say, look, this isn't covered. And so I follow the same process. I go through and ask them to clarify on what basis they're denying the claim. And then I go through and review the insurance policy to see how it is covered. And then I'll put in the writing and send to them, this is an improper denial, that this is covered under these provisions, and therefore you need to provide coverage. Otherwise, you're going to be looking at a lawsuit from my client against you. And the majority of the time, they have then switched their opinion. It doesn't happen every time, but many times they have, and most of the time they have changed their opinion. But again, it's about being specific. It's about having that documentation and showing them that you're not going to be backing down, that you know what your rights are. And many times, unfortunately, because a lot of us are very busy, many people will just give up on it. And that's part of their tactic, too, is to run people in circles to be able to delay it. And then eventually the hope is that the majority of those people will give up because they've got so many things going on.
Have you ever found any evidence, Parag, that insurance companies are actually hoping that someone who is ill that could actually make a big claim dies? Is it that cold-blooded sometimes? I just have to ask. What do you know?
It is, unfortunately. You know, in terms of the denials, like there's documented lawsuits over years of automated denials where people will automatically get denied care for all kinds of things, including cancer treatment. And it's claimed that it's not medically necessary. And people aren't reviewing these documents. And so it's an automated denial for somebody who clearly needs the treatment, and it's clearly medically necessary. You don't even need to be a doctor to say, yes, if somebody has cancer, it would make sense that they would need cancer treatment and it would be medically necessary. So it is very much designed to try to run out the clock for people, because then there is no more of a claim once, unfortunately, they've passed.
Yeah, and insurance company wins. Parag Amin, once again, founder of the Law Office of Parag Amin. Parag, I wanted to ask you, well, I was telling listeners before you came on my own particular personal story about my wife, Linda, who had cancer a number of years ago. She's absolutely fine now. But conventional chemotherapy was approved for it at first with the insurance company we have. And it just didn't work. Within about 60 days, things had gone back to being really, really bad. And it was Keytruda, according to our oncologist, this was an immunotherapy, matched her cancer markers. And the insurance company turned it down. She ended up fighting and then got the drug company to actually provide it. And so Linda ended up doing really well on it. She's been disease-free for a number of years from this. But I can't help but wonder that there have to be a lot of other Lindas out there in this world, in your experience, in which there's treatment available, but the insurance company, I think, at that point said, well, you know, we don't normally use this particular therapy, right? Do you have that kind of stuff that goes on routinely, too?
That does, Bill, and I'm glad to hear that your wife's doing better. Yeah, I mean, it seems like, without knowing more, they probably argued that it was an experimental treatment.
Yes.
And so they love to use that word, claiming that, well, it's experimental. You know, we don't want to pay for experimental treatment. And they try to couch it in the terms of, well, we believe it's best for the insured, but the reality is it's best for the insurance company's bottom line. Because a lot of stuff, as we know, here in the United States with the FDA, they've got a hard job to do, but it also takes a long time for treatments and drugs to get FDA approval. So I don't know specifically what treatment your wife was looking at. And I don't know if it had or did not have FDA approval, but sometimes insurance companies will claim that treatments are still experimental when they've been FDA approved, and despite that process taking years. But you're absolutely right that this is something insurance companies do. And there are a lot of Lindas, and there are a lot of Lindas who unfortunately don't keep fighting like you and your wife did to make sure that she got the proper treatment. And so many times, unfortunately, it becomes this hopeless situation. And keep in mind that they continue paying these premiums. These people are continuing to pay in these premiums while they're still simultaneously being denied the type of health care they need because they believe that they might have potentially something else that comes up, or they just don't think of, well, maybe I can just cancel my health care. But again, with Obamacare coming back into it, you're supposed to have health care, otherwise you or health insurance, otherwise you can be held responsible and fined for not having it. So that is the unfortunate reality that many Americans are facing. And I think that's also what we're seeing with this, the killing of the United Healthcare Group CEO. Of there has been a lot of outpour of anger about the healthcare industry in general. Like, for example, Aetna was going to pull the amount of anesthesia that's allowed for operations. They were going to say, they were saying that they were not going to pay for anesthesia for the full amount and that they were going to decrease it. They were not going to pay it for the full amount of the surgery.
I read that story just shaking my head. I couldn't believe they actually said it out in the open at first, right? They backed away from that like the proverbial Georgia mule pretty quickly.
That's right. But the timing was interesting of when they backed down, right? So this killing occurred, and then they officially came out and said, you know what, we're actually not going to do this. Are the two related? I don't know, but the timing was certainly coincidental.
Yeah, and like I said, when I even talked about this case before, it's not that I was that I was supportive of what was done to the CEO. It's a horrible crime. The thing is, though, I think what we're talking about, though, we understand what happens when desperate people get driven to desperate actions. In essence, that's really what we're talking about, aren't we, Parag?
That's right. I mean, it seems like it was somebody who was maybe felt like they were pushed up to the edge and felt like that they had no other option. And I'm not saying that that was okay or justified. but it's also not justified what the insurance companies are doing to people. I mean, the reality is the insurance companies have billions and billions and billions of dollars to lobby, to hire lawyers, to create convoluted claims processes, and the average person simply cannot compete with that without some kind of additional legislation or protections to help ensure that these companies are doing the right thing, because they've shown us time and time again that they are not voluntarily going to do the right thing. And there are some areas in which this is hypersensitive. We are not talking about some kind of luxury product or good that they're continuing to increase the price, and if people want to buy it, they can buy it. So, for example, we're not talking about luxury watches or luxury vehicles where if somebody wants to buy it, it's high-end and it's going to continue getting more and more expensive, and that's okay. I mean, this is very different. We're talking about a basic right of fundamental health care and well-being, and the costs of healthcare are already sky high. And then add to that all these different words that health insurance companies use to pass along costs to their own insureds after their insureds have paid for premiums. Now you've got things like your deductible, you've got your co-insurance, you've got your co-pay. And so all these different things are continuing to be added on in a way to reduce the overall cost for insurance companies and boost up their bottom line.
Now, you're a business attorney and a business analyst. You would also have to understand, though, that insurance companies can't just pay every claim and never ask a question, because then they themselves may go insolvent and then nobody's claims are getting paid. Is that a fair assessment, too? I mean, where is the balance and who's going to impose the balance, I guess, here, Parag?
Yeah, it's a great question, Bill. So when it comes to this, it has to be a balance. And so far, it has been unbalanced in their favor. So we're not saying that they should ask no questions, that they should blindly pay out every single claim, regardless of whether it's a legitimate claim or not. The issue is, hey, if this person has been diagnosed, for example, with cancer, and they need cancer treatment, sounds like it would probably be a medically necessary treatment. And so instead of using AI or something to summarily reject these claims, which also doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because I would think that AI would be smart enough to be trained well enough to look at large volumes of data to see if something is medically necessary.
But are they using AI to just summarily deny claims for many people? They just run it through a computer? Really? Really?
Well, they have been. So, for example, Aetna got into trouble for this. United Healthcare Group also got into trouble for this. There's a lawsuit accusing them of using a claims algorithm that frequently rejected claims, including, for example, with United Healthcare Group, they rejected mental health services for people. So, yes, there are documented ways of in which these companies, multiple companies in this area, have done exactly that. They're spitting out high volumes of rejections. So, I mean, think about that. The reality is there's a computer going through and summarily denying numerous claims far faster than the average person can even do it. And so all of that creates a lot of problems when it comes to the average everyday person. So, you know, I mean, if the solution was up to me, for example, I would say, look, maybe there's a mandated program in which all of these healthcare providers need to allow a random audit of how much and how many claims they're denying and on what basis, and let that be run through maybe an algorithm or an AI system to be able to see if they're higher than average or if the numbers don't really make sense. Because the reality is, you know, the average person's information is going to be protected by HIPAA. Mm-hmm. So we're not saying that some government agency comes in and reviews everybody's healthcare information. But when we look at statistics and data, if a company's data indicates that it's far above average in terms of denials, then that's certainly something that should be looked at.
In other words, you should be looking pretty much to like the norms in your particular industry or your insurance line, right? You should be looking similarly. Like the other companies. Okay. All right. I get that. Is this going to take legislation, you think, ultimately? Because, I mean, government's a blunt force trauma industry, as you well know. So do you think it's going to take that to bring some balance to the Obamacare balance, lack of balance?
Yes, I think so. I do believe in the good side of capitalism. I do believe in entrepreneurship. I do believe that entrepreneurship is the backbone of America. And if anything is going to save this country and this and the world as a whole, it is the solutions brought to the world by entrepreneurship and entrepreneurs rather than government legislation. But when you look at certain industries who have gotten it wrong time and time again, and at this point, statistically, there is no way that it's inadvertent that they simply got it wrong or that they're just trying to figure it out. And when people's lives are at risk, I think that's what it takes, is additional legislation to hold these companies accountable to help ensure that people are not dying or getting sick and suffering for no reason. There are industries in which we simply cannot allow companies to decide how and what is best for the American people. Including by simply experimenting with people's lives and not having any kind of real accountability or oversight, especially when these companies have shown over time that they are not willing to do it the right way. I mean, this isn't a new problem. This is a problem that's been around for decades.
Yeah, it's kind of like a joke of that old commercial, that old parody commercial, "We don't care, we don't have to." Right?
That's exactly it.
A little bit of that
And insurance companies love to talk about insurance fraud. We hear about insurance fraud all the time.
You bet.
And it's about consumers committing fraud against the insurance company. But what nobody really talks about is insurance companies committing fraud against the everyday consumer, where the everyday consumer has paid in dutifully their premiums to be able to get the coverage and care when they need it. And then the insurance company turns around and denies it. They fraudulently withhold benefits with the full expectation that on average, the person is eventually going to give up.
Parag Amin, once again, founder of the law office of Parag Amin. How can people find out more about you and what you're writing about, your firm? And if for some reason, maybe you need a little help and you're having trouble with, getting some coverage yourself, do you still do that kind of work too?
Yes. So these days, primarily, it's with business owners and assisting them with wrongfully denied insurance claims. But to learn more about me, they can go to paragelamin.com, which is P-A-R-A-G-L-A-M-I-N, paragelamin.com, or my law firm's website, which is lawpla.com. Again, it's lawpla.com.
All right, very good. Parag, great talk. I always enjoy the conversation with someone who has been involved in these kind of battles. And like I said, we don't know what the real story is, what happened in New York City. But like I said, I think you got a good bead on the bad side of what's been going on in the insurance industry for sure, okay? Thank you so much for your call. Good having you on. Be well.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. It is 6:58.